which lay around. But the Swiss have always been a brave and fearless people. At one time, one of the great princes of Europe tried to conquer Switzerland and take away the freedom of its people. But the people fought so bravely that instead of being conquered, they conquered the tyrants and drove them away. In those far-off times, the greatest ruler in Europe was the emperor, and his empire was divided into many states, over each of which ruled a prince or king who acknowledged the emperor as overlord. When an emperor died, the kings and princes met together and chose another emperor from among their number. Switzerland was one of the countries which owned the emperor as overlord, but the Swiss were a free people. They had no king or prince over them, but a governor only, who was appointed by the emperor. Austria was another of the states of the great empire, and at one time a Duke of Austria was made ruler of Switzerland. Because of its great beauty, this duke cast greedy eyes upon Switzerland and longed to possess it for his very own. But the Swiss would not give up on their freedom, and three cantons, as the divisions of Switzerland are called, joined together and swore to stand by each other and never to submit to Austria. Uri, Schwyz, and Unterwalden were the names of these three cantons. A little later, another canton joined the three. These four cantons lie round a lake, which is called the Lake of the Four Forest Cantons. When Albrecht, Duke of Austria, was chosen emperor, he said to himself that now truly he would be lord and master of Switzerland. So he sent two nobles to the Swiss to talk to them, and persuade them to own him as their king. Some of the people of Switzerland were persuaded to belong to Austria, but all the people of the free cantons replied that they wished to remain free. So the messengers went back to Albrecht and told him what the people said. When he heard the message, he was very angry. "The proud peasants," he cried, "they will not yield. Then I will bend and break them. They will be soft and yielding enough when I have done with them." Months went by, and the emperor appointed no ruler over Switzerland. At last the people, feeling that they must have a governor, sent messengers to the emperor, begging him to appoint a ruler, as all the emperors before him had done. "A governor you shall have," said Albrecht. "Go home and await his coming. Whom I send to you, him you must obey in all things." When they had gone, Albrecht smiled grimly to himself. "They will not yield," he said, "but I will oppress them and ill-treat them until I force them to rebel. Then I will fight against them and conquer them, and at last Switzerland will be mine." A few days later, Albrecht made his friends Hermann Gessler and Beringer of Landenburg governors over the free cantons, telling them to take soldiers with them to enforce the law and to tax the people in order to pay the soldiers. "You will punish all wrongdoers severely," he said. "I will endure no rebels within my empire." Hard and bitter days began when Gessler and Landenburg settled there. They delighted in oppressing the people. They loaded them with taxes. Nothing could either be bought or sold, but the governors claimed a great part of the money. The slightest fault was punished with long imprisonment and heavy fines. The people became sad and downcast, but still they would not yield to Austria. Gessler lived in a great castle at Küssnacht in Schwyz. In it were dreadful dungeons where he imprisoned the people and tortured them according to his wicked will. But he was not pleased to have only one castle, and he made up his mind to build another in Uri. So he began to build one near the little town of Altorf, which lay at the other end of the lake of the forest cantons. Gessler forced the men of Uri to build this castle, and he meant to use it not only as a house for himself, but as a prison for the people. "What will you call your castle?" asked a friend one day, as they stood to watch the building. "I will call it the Curb of Uri," said Gessler with a cruel laugh, "for with it I will curb the proud spirit of these peasants." After watching the work for some time, Gessler and his friend rode away. "My friend," said Gessler as he rode, "we will go back to Küssnacht by another way. I have heard that an insolent peasant called Werner Stauffacher has built himself a new house. I wish to see it. There is no end to the impudence of these peasants." "But what will you do?" asked his friend. "Do?" said Gessler. "Why, turn him out, to be sure. What need have these peasants for great houses?" So they rode on to Stauffacher's house. "Whose house is this?" he demanded. Stauffacher answered quietly, "My lord, this house belongs to the emperor, and is yours and mine in fief to hold and use for his service." "I rule this land," said Gessler, "in the name of the emperor, and I will not allow peasants to build houses without asking leave."